power to redeem. Only one spoke countless stars ablaze. Only one could breathe life into clay. Only one can quiet the raging seas. Only one has power to redeem. All the praise goes to Jesus. All the praise to Him alone. All the above all names. All the praise goes to Jesus. All the praise to Him alone. All the glory and honor of sin. Only one was raised to life again. Only one is King of every king. Only one is coming back for
Father's Day again. Rob, to you too. Just kidding. See, everybody laughed. It was good. Just loosens things up a bit. We have a good Father, our Heavenly Father. Just to put something in, if you cannot approach your Father, your earthly Father, it's the same as your Heavenly Father. If you do not have an open approach or there is no walls or no barriers in between to come to your Heavenly Father, then you know you've got a good relationship with Him. But if there is something there, you don't quite trust Him, you think He's like this hard, I'm going to use that word, the father that wants to use a strap and just spank you every time you do something wrong. He's not. He loves you. He loves you dearly. So he looks at you through the resurrected body and the bloodshed of Jesus Christ, and that's how he sees you, is clean, washed, and holy in your soul. And again, people need to separate the flesh, the physical, from the spiritual. This is where I think there's a lot of confusion in the church world, is they think when we talk that we're saved, it's our physical body that got saved. No, it's our spirit that got saved. Jesus made that right at the cross, what Adam screwed up in the Garden of Eden. Jesus made it right. And there's only one simple way that you can get that back. It says, all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? For how long? Well, if you sin, sorry, you are thrown away for a few days till you repent. Well, I'm going to have a message about that today. But it'll start with the resurrection of maybe not only Jesus, but Lazarus. You're going to see the picture that I'm going to paint of how powerful the resurrection was to our what we believe in. There is still proof of Jesus' resurrection today. Like every time somebody gets born again, that's proof of the resurrected body of Jesus Christ, because he brings you to life. I talked something over with Tom a few days ago. We were talking about a trucker he knew from WS. He says you ran into him, and he knew right away he was a Christian without the guy saying a word. And I shared the same story. I met somebody at WS at a different plant there, three, and I asked the guy. I looked at his face, and I said, this guy has to be a Christian. So I asked him, are you a born-again Christian? He said, yes. The fruit of peace was in his face and joy, but he had the fruit of peace. That's like an apple tree. You go to an apple tree, if it has no fruit on it, you won't know, but unless you're an expert at apple trees. But if there's an apple on there, guess what you'll say? Ah, it's an apple tree. This guy had peace in his face. It shone. His countenance shone. That's how evident it was that he had peace. Is this the same with us? Do we have peace and joy in our hearts when people run into us? Or do we have that blank face when people see us? So we have to be careful on what... But you don't want to put an outward facade on either. Anyway, before I get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for his blessings. Heavenly Father, I thank you again so much for another beautiful morning, Lord Jesus. We thank you for life. We thank you for health. We thank you for wealth. We thank you for spiritual well-being and knowing that we know that we belong to you. Thank you, Jesus, that you have shown this, that we are not confused in this area. I'm not confused in this area. I know who I belong to. I know that my Redeemer lives, and I thank you, Jesus, for revealing that, making that revelation known to us, to all of us. Lord Jesus, you will bless this message as it goes out, and people will call upon your name, because it is that simple. You had to make it that simple that a child could understand it. It's because we don't want to humble ourselves, that's why we don't understand it. So, Lord Jesus, you will open people's minds and hearts to the truth of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, and amen. You may be seated. I'm going to talk about, first of all, the story of Lazarus. It's out of John 11, verses 45 to 48. And it's not the actual resurrection, but what happened after. That always baffled me. It's just, you see the two different people that showed their true colors in this story. Starting with verse 45, it's so two kinds of people. Those who believed what happened, and those who didn't believe, regardless of the facts that they saw with their own eyes. And they saw what happened here, and then they were trying to cover it up to make things even worse. That's what they were trying to do. They're trying to put him to death because of the fame of Jesus also. They wanted to put him to death. So there are certain people also today who care less about the truth. Truth doesn't matter. For us, the thing that gets us moving forwards as believers is the truth. And not my truth, not your truth, the truth, which is Jesus Christ. If we do not plug into that truth, we will forever spin on one place or go backwards. You will not move forward. And that goes to say with everything, even with things pertaining to your health, wealth, life itself. You need to want to know the truth and operate in honesty in all things, areas of your life. So here's the story of Lazarus. After Jesus woke up Lazarus from the dead. And this is what the Jews did. And many of the Jews, verse 45, which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, they believed on him. But some went their ways to the Pharisees and told them of the things that Jesus had done. These guys were just, I don't even want to use that word. I don't even know the other word that would be politically correct. They just wanted to please the people. They were people pleasers, so they wanted to make sure that they ran with the crowd, with the Pharisee crowd, and they told them, oh, look what this guy did. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we do? For this man does many miracles. If we let him alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away our place and our nation. All they were interested in it was their own position. My friends, this is wickedness. So just let's look at the attempt to cover up the resurrection of Jesus our Lord now. The same people at Jesus' resurrection. But before I do this, I want to do a little something different today. Just a stanza of Up from the Grave He Arose. Help me sing this. Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. This is why the gospel is powerful, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, what he did. The cross would have meant nothing. Even though it would have still been a covering for your sins, it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ that put the punch behind all this. If he wouldn't have risen from the dead, we would have just be like any other religion. But now we have something that is real, that is alive. And I love that. Now recounting the story of when Jesus rose from the dead, starting in Matthew 28, 17. Jesus did reveal himself at the resurrection. But Jesus made a statement to the Pharisees, and I'll read that too. So Jesus did reveal himself at the resurrection only to those who wanted to know the truth, even if some of them doubting in it. And remember Thomas. But he did not lie to the Pharisees and the Sadducees when they asked for a sign from him. What did Jesus say? Now this is the scripture that I want him to put up, Matthew 12, verse 38 and 40. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from you. But he answered, and he said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. There shall be no sign given to it, that generation, but the sign of the prophet of Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So jumping ahead now, from when Jesus said this to his resurrection. So when they would see the moved stone, this is talking about the Pharisees here, the disappeared body, which if it were stolen, it would not have been stolen with the body unwrapped. For any thief would not be that stupid to lose time in unwrapping the body in the tomb while surrounded by Roman soldiers. It would have been done very fast and quickly. They, the Pharisees and Sadducees, heard from the Roman guards about the miracle and the moving of the stone of the angels. They knew, they heard about it because they reported it to them, the soldiers did. But they did not want to hear the reality of what they witnessed. The soldiers, what they witnessed. On the contrary, they chose a lie and bribed the Roman soldiers to spread around the lie that the body was stolen by Jesus' disciples. These guys, the disciples, were cowards at this point. Can you imagine? They all scattered and ran, who actually were not ready for such an incredible, fearless, daring act, that they were scattered instead. But they could not dare even to look out from their closed rooms out of fear of the Jews. So did not the Pharisees and others of their like among the leading experts of the time of the law also get a clear testimony that something incredible happened here? Something happened here, big. Yes, indeed they did. Well, should they have investigated what happened? Like we would see today, if we see something happening, there's claims of something, shouldn't there be an investigation? Well, there should have been an investigation, but there was not, because of the fear of the uncomfortable truth. They did not want the truth here. How fitting is that when you compare it with what's happening with today's world events? There is no investigation in any of the conspiracy theories. They're just shut down by some stupid flat earth conspiracy theory that looks even stupider than all the other conspiracy theories. So when they are jumping ahead to Jesus, for Jesus gave to them through the words of the Roman soldiers a sign, which was like a wide gate for them to enter into the course of investigation that would necessarily take them to the discovery of the resurrection. They would have indeed discovered there was a resurrection, but they did not do it, knowing 100% that the story that they asked the soldiers to spread was a blatant lie. This is coming from the leaders of the time. These were their spiritual leaders. It is a strange and frightening phenomenon that people can love their idiotic convictions, ideologies, passions so much that they will be ready to kill the truth at all times, even while knowing that it is the truth that they are killing. Do we love the truth, or would we rather hide the truth because of its inconvenience? I beg you all by the grace that the Lord Jesus gives us, search for the truth with all your heart. Not your truth, like I said before, or mine, but the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth, and he has the ability to set you free if you humble yourself before him. And you will certainly find what the truth is. So let's look at what the resurrection of Jesus Christ produced, no matter how they tried covering it up. Let's jump ahead to the Apostle Paul, who was at the time called Saul. He was also very much against what was going on at the time, which was a huge revival that broke out. And I personally think that revival broke out for two reasons. When Jesus arose from the grave, it says many of the saints appeared into that holy city, arose from the grave and appeared unto many. Now, can you imagine what would happen at the rapture when the dead in Christ shall rise first, and they would have an opportunity to go and appear to many of their loved ones and tell them about what's going to come, what's coming, and then disappear again. Because remember, Jesus had a glorified body, so did those saints. They appeared and then disappeared again. Jesus appeared for 40 days. He was here walking around, showing himself to up to 500 people. Proof that he did rise from the grave. And so again, that going back to that massive outbreak of people getting saved, how did that happen? Why did that happen? So Paul the Apostle was at the time a Pharisee who was fighting and killing believers. He was holding the robes when they killed the stoned Stephen to death. He was part of that. And then he, who had a great encounter with Jesus Christ, all of a sudden changed, had a resurrection experience where he changed and became known as the Apostle Paul. But because he was also doing what he was doing with zeal, like he was persecuting the church knowing and thinking he was doing God a favor. He was thinking he was doing God a favor. That's how convicted he was on what he was doing. But a resurrected Jesus revealed himself to Saul, and he was never again the same. This is what the resurrected Jesus can do for you today. Give you the power and the ability to change your attitude and your life about how things used to be. You will never, ever be again the same once you encounter Jesus Christ, that resurrected Jesus Christ. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the message in the Bible changes. Not changes, but changes. the wording changes from the law to grace and salvation because of the resurrection. Something happened that has never ever happened before. All the apostles and the prophets shone and pointed to this one event, this massive, colossal event that's going to happen in the future, and it now was at the door. It happened. It was Jesus Christ came on the scene, died for the sins of the whole world, and then rose from the grave to put the period or the last stamp on it that Satan was defeated. Satan, the grave could not hold him. So nothing, and I mean nothing, would ever have changed after the crucifixion if Jesus would not have rose from the dead. We would still be lifeless. Maybe forgiven, but we would be lifeless because the resurrection provided the life again. So how simple is the gospel? I'm going to change a little bit to the simplicity of the gospel. Of what do you have to do now to believe in this resurrected Christ? What do you have to do to make a change, to get this or become part of the kingdom of God? And the answer is actually quite simple. It's all that call upon the name of the Lord shall what? Be saved. Let's look at a few examples. Paul and the jailer, Acts 16, verse 30 and 31. And the jailer asked, this is after the earthquake happened, and he was going to kill himself because it meant certain death for him if those prisoners escaped. That was the death sentence for the jailer. So he decided he was going to take his own life. Paul, seeing that that's what he was going to do, stopped him. He said, no, don't. We're all still here. And then the jailer goes, but sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul didn't have a long spiel of what he had to do. You must join this denomination. You must do this. You must do that. You must tithe. You must get baptized. You must go to Sunday school. He didn't have any of those things. He just said, call. And they said unto him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And who else? His house. There's an interesting statistic I'll give you about that. Neither is there any salvation. Acts 4, verse 12. Can you please put that one up? Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This saved word needs no help, guys. This means exactly what it says what it means, and I will not water it down. You are saved or you're not. You're not being thrown away unsaved every time you sin. It doesn't work that way. It can't work that way. Romans 10, verse 9 to 13. If you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, there's the resurrection again, the power, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Never. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. That means all. At the time, that means everybody. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And whosoever, repeats it again, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you, Jesus, for the simplicity that a child can understand it. Do you remember the day you got saved? I remember that to me as if it happened yesterday. That's how clear it is in my mind still. You can never give, though, to other people what you have found. You cannot give it to them. But you can make them jealous of what you've got. That's what you can do. The questions that matter in life are remarkably few. And they are all answered by the words that Jesus said, come unto me. He'll give you everything that you are in need of. Come unto me. And not do this or don't do that. That is never the answer. Just come unto me. But come unto me, if I will simply come to Jesus, my life will be brought into an accordance. Again, be very careful on how you interpret this. If I will simply come to Jesus, my life will be brought into accordance with my deepest desires. And your desires, when you came, became born again, should have become godly. And they will be godly desires, and I will cease sinning because I will be born from above. That is what 1 John says. He says, anybody who's born from above does not sin. And again, be very careful how you separate this. In your spirit, you are sinless. In Galatians 1, 6 to 9, King James Version, Paul telling these guys here, I marvel that you guys are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, onto another gospel. And again, it becomes another gospel when you start adding to this and taking away. You are into something that is foreign to what the Apostle Paul is writing about, the revelation that you had, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And then here he goes. This is the warning. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be what? Let him be accursed. And he mentions it twice. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. That means, that's pretty strong language to me. So Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you have added your religion, whatever your denomination it is, even if it's a religion that doesn't worship Christ but worship something that your fathers passed down over the years, and your religion is 400 years old, even if it's just that, you are adding to what Jesus did here. And I'm sorry, this is the true word of God. This is the final blueprint, or the only blueprint that we have in getting into heaven. You cannot add to that. I don't care what your preachers say. You cannot take away or add to this. This is the simplicity of the gospel, and this is the only one and the only thing that I want my name beside as what I have preached, is the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the call for you to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Acts 4:16-20. The Apostle Paul speaking here, saying, what shall we do to these men? No, this is not the Apostle Paul speaking. They were before the council, and the Pharisees are making a recommendation or wondering what they should do with these guys who just did a miracle. Saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed, they did indeed a notable miracle that had been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. So now they're planning another cover up, the suckers. How will we cover this one? But that it spread no further among the people. So they're trying to quench this so they cannot put proof on the resurrection of Jesus here again, because this points to Jesus Christ everything all the time, because they gave praise to only Jesus. So let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in his name. Wow. That baffles me, that people could become that wicked, especially when they call themselves servants of God. Are you a servant of God, and are you preaching on the pulpit every day, but you're doing this kind of stuff? That is wickedness to a degree that I can't even come up with. That is not even as bad as an unbeliever living in sin. Jesus came to save those guys because they know they need help. But if you're a religious guy, you don't need help. Apparently, because you don't think you need Jesus, but you need Jesus whether you like it or not, because you'll have to go through that door or humble yourself yet one of these days to walk through that door. And if you don't, you will not hear a good message at the end of your life. So when they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor to teach in the name of Jesus, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether you like it or not, something like that, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken, to hear or listen unto you more than unto God, you judge. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. What did they see and heard here? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. What he did on the cross, and he rose from the dead. They were witnesses. These guys were cowards just before that. And now they're in the temple boldly proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. This is boldness. What happened to these guys? Well, number one, they got the power of the Holy Ghost. You know that Acts 2 where they got filled with the Holy Ghost. And then they witnessed something that has never happened before. In Acts 2 verse 47, it says, they were praising God and having favor with all people. That's the disciples or the apostles. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That, I never really thought about that one till the other day. He added to the church daily such as should be saved. Do you think that those people got saved over and over again? Or did it record exactly what it meant? I choose to believe they got saved. And they were saved. They stayed saved until the end. It doesn't say later on, oh, they walked away and they weren't saved anymore. No, they called upon the name of the Lord and they were saved. The Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. It was finished. They were saved forever. It was done. Acts 2:41, King James. When they had gladly received his word, they were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls again. They were saved because they called upon the name of the Lord. Acts 4, verse 4. Howbeit many of them which had heard the word believed, and the number, here it says men, that's important here, of men was about 5,000. Got added to the church that day. Did you know statistically that when the father gets saved first, 93% of the time the whole family gets saved, versus a small percentage when the mother gets saved that the family follows suit? That's percentage. Somebody did a study on that, and that's the percentage that came up. So fathers, this is Father's Day. It's important that you become role models, leaders in what God has called you to be. Because when you get saved and you follow the Lord, the chances of your family following Jesus are very, very high. That's how powerful it is. And I'm not knocking down mothers. Believe me, I'm not. That is a powerful thing too when they get saved. But it is even more powerful when the fathers actually turn to the Lord and they serve God with a heart that is after God in truth. So, this is a call to the fathers in closing. If you don't know this Jesus, be real men by turning to Jesus, calling upon his name, and you and your household will be saved. Amen.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my oh. blessed Jesus, holy.